Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Phumlani Majozi, he's a businessman. He is a business and macroeconomics analyst. He's a writer on economic and political issues, public speaker, radio talk show host. His writings have been published in the City Press, Biz News, African Liberty, Politics Web. He's also a columnist on News 24. So we welcome him right now to 101.9 Chai FM. How are you, Phumlani?
I'm well, KB. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. It's lovely to speak to you again. Phumlani, what has been the effect of coronavirus on South Africa?
Oh, I guess you mean what has been the economic impact
of exactly.
COVID-19.
Exactly.
Yeah. In South Africa. Well, you'll remember that in March, by the end of March, just before we got into the COVID mode and the lockdowns and so on, our economy was already in tatters, right? It was dismal in terms of when you look at economic growth, unemployment,
downgrades,
confidence, consumer. Yeah. Yes, downgrades and all of that. So already before COVID-19 took effect, we were in a very bad position, right? And then COVID-19 arrives and government responds by lockdowns and shutting down businesses and so on with a purpose to buy us time so that we're able to prepare the healthcare facilities and so on. So, and then the question you are asking is what has been the impact of that, those lockdowns, disruption in the economy? Well, we've seen demand being hard hit, in the sense that people were sort of, they withdrew, they were back into their houses, couldn't go to buy in shops to keep the economy going. And some people, as business were shutting down, they lost their jobs, which meant that we saw contraction in incomes. Business and consumer confidence further went downhill. When you look at the numbers that have been released not long time ago, they were discomforting. Unemployment as well. It already rose in the first quarter this year. Definitely, we haven't yet seen the numbers for the second quarter where we saw massive lockdowns, level five, four and so on. But everyone knows that the numbers would be quite shocking. So that's basically the kind of an environment that we are operating in right now, where the economy has been, it was dismal before COVID-19 and all the lockdowns. Things now have gotten much kind of worse, KD. So and it doesn't seem like things will go back to normal anytime soon, as long as you don't have the vaccine. Because if you have a vaccine, that's where you are going to have confidence in people going out to participate in the economy, with the hope that, you know, they will get a cure. Right now, people, you know, they're in fear. They fear that if I go out to participate, whether I'm watching a movie or buying something at the mall or so on, I will contract the disease. So those dynamics are still there, which are basically holding us kind of back in terms of quickly getting back on track in terms of the economy.
Yeah. You know, I think that there's some industries that will recover quickly and some industries that are going to take a very long time to recover because our behavior has changed as consumers. So, for example, I think people are more inclined to watch movies at home rather than go to movies, even when it's fine to do so. I think that a lot of people are still going to enjoy cooking at home because now it's become an enjoyable activity rather than going out and eating as much as we were. You know,
And hence I'm saying that up until you get a vaccine, then people then we'll have confidence in going back to do those things that, these things that we are talking about.
Yeah.
But maybe it won't be the same as they used to do because they would have gotten used to what you are saying right now, watching Netflix, watching, doing things at home, cooking instead of going out to buy or to eat at a restaurant and so on and so on. So there's a change that we are seeing. So that's the kind of the aspect of us as sort of participants in the economy. And then there's government policy, KV, that I think there has been a huge mishandling from government in terms of you know, the policies that ought to fast track our economic productivity in the country. We are seeing, when you look at the budget speech, the recent one, the adjusted one that was given a few weeks back by the minister, you see that we are spending way beyond our means. Right. And we are going out to borrow money because we don't have the money. Yes, to an extent, some people will say, well, we had, it's because of COVID-19 and so on. But we need to go back and say what was happening before the build up to that. And it's due sense that those policies that are kind of more pulling down economic growth, they seem to be taking place. There is refusal for government to pursue things like the public sector wage bill, which is a huge risk to our economy. And unions are saying, no, we're not going to allow any of those things to be reformed. SOEs, they've been also highlighted as a huge risk to the economy. Yeah. Unions again there. NUMSA and so on have said, we're not going to allow any reform that brings in the market, right? Of which government, and we all know that government is quite, this is a heavy burden, these SOEs on them. And so, I mean, there's been a lot of policy wrong direction, and I was listening to, at least I read about the president's speech he gave at the parliament not long ago, where he was saying that he wants the state to lead the recovery, and that's not how I see it. Rather, he should push for business, SMEs in townships and small towns, you know, corporates and so on, to be the driver of the recovery. That means making sure that we have tax breaks, making sure that where you have, you know, things like, to an extent, many businesses have shut down, and if in terms of funding, you could also fund those businesses so that they are able to get back on feet and be able to employ people so that people don't lose their jobs. So there's been a lot of mishandling from a governmental kind of policy point of view as well, which will prolong the whole kind of, economic mess that we are in.
And it really is a mess. I mean, if you look at some industries like restaurants, right? So the government bowed to pressure and said, they said, fine, so you can open. But they're not seeing the footfall, but now they're liable for rental. Whereas before they weren't. Now, it can be quite destructive because our behavior as consumers has changed. And I think that business needs to react to that.
And even that reaction as well is going to take time. Yeah. I doubt that they would react overnight, especially even the fact that even that reaction needs to be financed somehow, right? Yeah. To change your processes as a business will cost you money. And usually you finance those processes. The more you have customers coming through the door, the more you are able to meet your costs. So you can able to finance your processes. In this instance, now you're in a position where you need to change your processes. And you know, over the past months, we haven't been making money, sure, you know, to finance your costs. So you are put in a sort of, a very kind of a difficult situation. But my view about South Africa over the long term is that it seems to me it will take a very long while. In fact, I was writing recently in my article for Politics Web, where I was basically saying that it will take at least the next two decades for the country to really, if you could see anything being done. Because of the nature of politics, right? Where the President Ramaphosa, who we thought would be a person who would drive from a pro-market growth point of view and reform the SOEs and make sure that the growth is coming back. But it's clear that he has been lacking on that he can't even take on the unions, you know, to reform these institutions and so on. And we are seeing David Mabuza, who himself is very much aligned with, not really aligned, but gets very well with the EFF. And we have seen what the EFF has done over the years in terms of putting pressure on the ANC to pursue the kind of policies that wouldn't be best in terms of job creation in South Africa. So the political structure over the next years doesn't look to me conducive to pro-market kind of pro-growth, I should use the term, to get people to work. The key thing is we need to get people to be employed, to reduce high unemployment levels, for people to produce and earn income. If you don't have that, And it seems like our politics are sort of holding back that kind of reform.
Sure.
We are in serious trouble as a country.
Sure. I think going forward, it's going to be quite interesting. We've seen what a game changer and what a catalyst coronavirus has been to businesses, to people around the world, to politicians. I think that going forward will be very interesting. And I have no doubt that this will not be the last time that we speak to you. Phumlani Madjozi, thank you very, very much.
And thank you very much for the invitation. Yeah.
All right. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Phumlani Madjozi. He's a senior fellow at African Liberty. Isn't it nice to hear from such smart people, Simon?
I found that absolutely fascinating. But what I found even more amazing was how can there possibly be an expectation for the ANC government to propagate liberal economic policy when it so very clearly is not their agenda? Why are people surprised that they're not going to do that? What gives them any idea that they would do that?
Well,
I mean, it's a socialist-inspired party with a different agenda. You mentioned some time ago prescribed assets. I chose not to listen to you because I didn't want to listen to you.
It's okay. We know you don't.
That is so back on the agenda, Cathy.
I know, because
right.
I was a conspiracy theorist, Simon, because we established yesterday that any topic that you don't want to talk about is a conspiracy theory. We established this. It is well noted. In fact, I even have a recording.
Don't talk about this either. I want some music.
Okay. Well, we've got 2 minutes. So here's Omer Adam and Edin Benzakin and Kukuriku, apparently.
Okay.
Oh, please tell me this is where he's got that beautiful voice. Simon, have you heard his voice in the song?
I don't know where you're at yet. No.
Okay. Hold
just on. Just
wait. Let's see.
I said I love you, baby.
Yeah, this is it.
You never met a girl like me. Now it's time for you to stop celebrating your loneliness.
Si señora, hey, come and play with me. We've got one chance, one life. It's a matter of fate or destiny. You're looking for my luck tonight.
Cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, say the word and I'll be there. Amor, amor, amor. Habibi,
Shala,
Habibi,
Laila,
Habibi,
Tagidili,
Habibi,
Tagidi Mako,
Tagidi
Mako,
Tagidi
Mako,
Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako,
Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi Mako, Tagidi
Mama, mama,
mama, mama. Hey, señora, come and dance with me. I have all night for you. Andiamo, andiamo. 1, 2, 3, perfecto.
Cuatro, cinco, seis, siete. Say the word and I'll be there. Amor, amor. Amor, Habibi,
Shala,
Habibi,
Laila,
Habibi,
Tagidili,
Habibi,
Tagidi Makoe,
Tagidi
Makoe,
Tagidi
Maie,
Tagidi Maie, no sé qué me está pasando.
Oh, I wanna dance, dance it for me.
This is 101.9 High FM News.
And your story is making headlines at this hour. U.S. sanctions Chinese companies over Muslim abuse complaints. Egypt denies destroying ancient Islam.